It's 5 o'clock Wednesday. Welcome to Joyful Echo with Jean and Kathleen on Carolina Catholic Radio Charlotte, where we gather together as sisters in friendship to echo God's love. Now here are your hosts, Jean and Kathleen.
Hey, ladies, this is Jean.
Hi, this is Kathleen. We are so happy that you joined us again today.
Yes, I'm hoping your word is coming alive for you and you're in that practice.
Yes, absolutely. These are such life-changing lessons. Mm-hmm. How we've always known, right, that this is the word of God, that this is a living word, but how do you allow it to come alive and cooperate with its power in your daily life? And that was a big part of last week's show. If you haven't listened, go back in the archives and listen to it, because you can always listen on demand to any Joyful Echo episode through CarolinaCatholicMedia.org or on the mobile app that you can download. But today we have a new show, and it's my echo today, Jean. And
okay.
I would like us to talk about God the Father.
Oh, my favorite subject. That'll be easy.
So a while ago, you and I were talking about a prayer experience, a devotion that we were looking for. And through another woman who I believe, you know, the Lord put in my life at that moment to put me in the direction of this devotion, we decided this was going to be a devotion that we were going to do. It is a consecration to God the Father. Mm-hmm. And at the time I started, I don't know how far you got, Jean. I started, and then there was a point where other things got in the way. Ladies, I don't know if this happens to you you think, okay, I'm going to start this novena or I'm going to start this devotion, and you get a part of the way in and then whoop, you get sidetracked. Now, there was a time in my life where I would beat myself up about that.
Oh, not anymore.
I would say, you know, are you kidding me? Like, what is wrong with me? Whatever it was that prompted me to do that thing, I was like, was that not important enough? Do I not care enough that I would, you know, take care of this? And what is wrong with me that I can't just be faithful to this devotion? So it's not that I don't care anymore, or you, Jean, that you don't care anymore. It's that I do not beat myself up about it, because it is useless.
Yeah.
It is useless to do that. And that is not God's will, that I sit there and, you know, beat myself up. So yeah, I still, go ahead.
Because you cannot get, or you cannot make God love you anymore because you did the novena well.
Nope.
To your own judgment. It doesn't work like that.
No, he loves you perfectly already.
Always.
Yep.
Always.
Already.
There's no more. He can't love you anymore.
Nope.
He cannot love you anymore.
What I did was I went back, you know, in my mind, to the belief, right, that we talked about before, the belief that this really was put in my life for a reason. When that woman spoke of this to me, she had no idea what I was praying about. When she spoke that to me, that was real, that this was something sent by the Lord, I did still believe that. And so I just said, all right, Lord, well then,
how many days did you do
on? I think I did like half a day. There's all this. It comes in a book, which I downloaded on Kindle. And there's all this preparatory reading before you actually even get into
the novena,
the consecration. Mm-hmm. And it's an 8-day consecration. So it's not a 9-day novena, but it's an 8-day consecration. And if this had been a book, you know, a physical book, I would have flipped ahead to like, okay, what do I do for day one?
Yes.
And that's what I would have done. But because it was on Kindle, it doesn't have that same, I don't interact with it in the same way, but I got it on Kindle because I was impatient. I didn't want to wait until the book arrived. So what that means for me is I'm not going to, you know, scroll to get all the way down. So I started at the beginning, and heaven forbid, this is just the way I'm wired, I'm not letting the written word pass me by without reading it.
Mm.
So I started with the very first word, and I'm reading all the preparatory stuff and all the whatever. And I was losing steam.
Yeah.
Losing steam. Not in what I was reading about, but it just, and other things were coming into my life. So I came back to it. I read as far as where it said, like, you really should start on a Sunday. And I thought, oh, well, okay, because that wasn't what I had done before.
Right.
So it was good that I waited anyway. So came back to it on Sunday and started it on the Sunday so that I could get into it. But this consecration to God the Father, there are, have been a couple of things that I have seen in my own prayer life that I want to share with you. One of the things that came early in those introductory pages was recognizing that we have this image, a physical kind of image in our minds of God the Father, the way he's usually represented in artwork, mm-hmm. right? As an old mm-hmm. person, long gray beard, mm-hmm. long hair, right? And I understand why that is. So it's not that I'm saying mm-hmm. we shouldn't do that. I understand why that is because he's in relation to God the Son, mm-hmm. right? Jesus, who is going to be pictured as a grown man usually, right? Mm-hmm. So you think, okay, well, this has to be someone old enough to be the father of this grown man. But even in artwork about the very creation of Adam and Eve.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's an old man, right?
Yeah, he sure is.
And so the writing here was saying, thinking about that sense of God the Father, right? Old age, we're not talking about coming to maturity, but past that point, old age is really the corruption of our bodies, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. As our bodies start to slowly mm-hmm. deteriorate, which we know all too well. God our Father doesn't have that. There Mm-mm. is no corruption in him. There is no disintegration in him. He is a vibrant, mm-hmm. fully, he is life, mm-hmm. right? So fully alive. So that was the first thing in my mind was not that I necessarily replaced the image with a different image, but I replaced that image with the truth.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
of who God the Father is, being life itself, mm-hmm. but being full of life, being completely alert, being
never wearying,
never tiring, no.
never wearying. I love that.
And being completely mm-hmm. connected to the reality mm-hmm. of this very moment, right? That's mm. another thing that we kind of have with, like, oh, our parents. I mean, Gene and I were joking before on the last show with Instagram how, you know, okay, we're older. We don't know how all this stuff works, and our kids do. So we do, especially in our society, have this sense of our father, our mother, mm-hmm. these are people who are not with it. And that is the not very God. Opposite of mm-hmm. God the Father. God the Father is the reality mm-hmm. of this present moment. Mm-hmm. That was a beautiful truth for me to take in and give my belief to.
Yes, yes. You know? We're working on belief, girls.
We are cooperating and agreeing with that truth.
Mm-hmm.
And then also that connection. We know, of course, that Jesus came to do the Father's will, right? Mm-hmm. He says that in Scripture to us. We know that to be true. But that connection, that the purpose of the life of Jesus, our Savior, was to give glory to the Father. And as we are united in our baptism to Jesus mm-hmm. and his mission, that is supposed to be our mission too.
That's right.
My purpose in life, in this day, in this moment, is to give glory to my Heavenly Father. Mm-hmm. That is my purpose. And my mission, and the mission of Jesus, and the mission of his church, and the mission of the Blessed Mother is to bring me back to my Father who loves me.
Back home. We're on a journey.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. Now, these, you might say, like, well, duh, Kathleen. But I'm telling you that these things fell on me anew. Mm-hmm. Not because I didn't know I was returning to my father's house. No, I don't mean that. It just took on different significance as I was praying through this and reading these words. This is my purpose. My purpose is to give glory to God the Father and to cooperate with Jesus, his Son, with the Holy Spirit, with the Blessed Mother, with the church that Christ founded, to glorify him and make my way back to his house.
You know what's really beautiful, what's coming to me too? Yeah, it is mind-blowing. And I'm thinking of women that I listen to, like, what is my purpose? You don't have to worry as if you don't have a purpose, ladies, because you were created by God. You were his idea, by the way.
Mm-hmm. That's the only reason you exist.
Is because, yes. Mm-hmm. And he delights in you, and he delights in the gifts and the talents that he has given you to bring the kingdom here, to bring his glory here. So you do have gifts, you do have talents, just that are so unique to yourself, and the discovery of those and to live those brings you full joy. And when you bring joy, you bring God's glory to the earth.
Yes.
You bring God's glory.
So, you know, do we all have that same purpose and that same mission? Yes, but where it's unique is about who I am, the way that I have been created right down to my DNA, which has never existed before and will never exist again. All of that is the unique glory that I alone with that DNA bring to the Father.
Yes.
There is a way that I can glorify the Lord in living this life that he's given me that no one else can give.
Yes, and I want you girls to hear that, because so many women, and I've been guilty, what is my purpose? I don't have a purpose. That's an absolute lie that you need
to
come against.
What am I supposed to do?
Right.
What is my job supposed to be? All of those questions.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Go to the Lord and let him reveal, but do not judge your purpose. That's where we get trapped. Mm-hmm. Well, my purpose doesn't look like her purpose.
No.
And her purpose doesn't look like... No, it's not supposed to.
He already is receiving the glory from that person, the way that that person can give him glory. You need to give him glory.
That's right.
In the way that you are supposed to, that he put you together to give him glory.
That's right.
One of the other things, Jean, that came through praying this... consecration to God the Father, and I mentioned before, it's an octave, right? There are 8 days to the consecration.
And I only made 3 of those days.
Oh, you made 3. Okay.
That's what I was asking you. How many days? Because I love it. The consecration's great.
Oh, yeah. Loving it.
I'm going to begin again.
That's right. That's right. When the time is of the Lord. Okay. So why is it 8 days? You might ask yourself. Why is it 8 days? I asked. And there are so many scriptural references. And when I got to that point, this is part of the reason I didn't get very far. When I got to that part in the beginning, and like those introductory pages, it would outline all the ways that 8 days are mentioned in scripture in relation to the revelation of God the Father.
And it's amazing.
So many. And when it would say this thing, and then it would give a scripture verse, well, I had to pull my Bible off the shelf and read that verse or read that passage or read that chapter, because I didn't want to just read the description and then go, okay, well, there it is in the thing. No. So there are now places in my Bible that have eight days underlined that didn't before.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a litany that you pray at the end of each day of this consecration that goes through some of those 8-day references connected to the revelation of who the Father is. And when we come back from break, because we have a break now, when we come back from break, I want to visit some of those with you and share my joy.
Yes, very good. See you soon, ladies.
labor trafficking is a form of human trafficking that can happen to anyone, regardless of age, gender, culture, race, or citizenship status. Labor trafficking involves manual labor that can subject someone to long hours of work without breaks. Labor traffickers can recruit an individual to work by using threats, lies, or other types of manipulation to ensure that a worker does not report what is happening to them. Whether you are visiting farms in Atlantic County or dining in restaurants in Bergen County, labor trafficking can be seen in many different industries like gas stations, restaurants, hotels, farm working, or construction sites. It is not uncommon to see a manager or supervisor hovering over an employee or using threatening language when talking to someone at risk of labor trafficking. Examples of exploitive work conditions may include lack of personal protective equipment like masks, gloves, and goggles when using sharp objects, heavy lifting, or operating machinery. Victims of labor trafficking may appear in public settings with physical injuries, lack of proper hygiene, or feelings of fear. Types of labor trafficking may include domestic servitude, debt bondage, involuntary child labor, and other forms. Most victims of labor trafficking are not aware of their rights when working for an abusive employer. Regardless of your citizenship status, you have rights in this country. Everyone is entitled to back wages, overtime pay, or basic protective equipment. Every victim who is a non-citizen is eligible for continued presence, T visa, or U visa. Local consulates are available and willing to assist non-citizens in completing their visa documentation as well as understanding their human rights. Silence is not an option. If you're a victim of this form of abuse or you know someone whom you suspect of this, call the National Human Trafficking Hotline at 888-373-7888 or text HELP or INFO to 233-733. With your help, we can keep our community safe.
The Carolina Catholic Radio Network and AM 1270 Catholic Radio Charlotte is seeking business partners who share our vision and mission to invest in keeping our Catholic voice alive across the Carolinas. For more information, contact us through our website at carolinacatholicradio.org.
Hey ladies, welcome back to our second part of Joyful Echo today. I almost had a menopausal stop in my brain. It's like, where are we and what are we doing? This happens, ladies.
Yes.
I'm sure you can agree, but you're not on the radio. So we just roll with it.
We have witnesses to our pauses.
Yes, but Kathleen is sharing with us about some beautiful things about God the Father. And continue, my friend.
Yes, yes. So I told you all before the break that we were going to go through some of those 8-day references, and I do absolutely want to do that. We're going to do that in just a second. But one thing that I want to mention as well that really struck me was when the apostles asked the Lord to teach them how to pray, and he shared with them the Our Father, think about the very first petition that's in the Our Father, the very first thing he asks of the Father. So he tells them to pray, Our Father who art in heaven. And what is the first thing he says after that?
Hallowed.
Hallowed be thy name, right? It's giving glory
to God.
To God the Father. You may be in a place where you say, I'm not sure I really have a relationship with God the Father. I know and believe and trust in God the Father, but I don't know that I have a relationship with him, right?
It's a good question to
ask. So this is a good time. All right. So the first eight that was mentioned there in the litany, it says, God our Father saved 8 people on Noah's Ark.
I did not know that, and I thought that 8 was pretty cool.
8 people. So if you want to go, it's in Genesis. Sometimes people are like, where is the story of Noah's Ark? There's no book of Noah. So where do I go? It's in Genesis. So God our Father saved 8 people on Noah's Ark. God our Father decreed that all male babies be circumcised on the 8th day as a sign of his covenant with us.
Mm-hmm.
And our Lord had that same experience. He was circumcised on the 8th day,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And typically for Jewish babies, we see it in scripture with St. John the Baptist and with the Lord. His name is proclaimed. That son's name is proclaimed at that time on the 8th day.
And I believe there's a precious blood chaplet that honors that first dropping
yes.
of his blood on the 8th day. Is that correct?
Absolutely.
I thought so.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's one of the sorrows, too, of mm-hmm. Our Lady. Okay. God our Father manifested himself to Moses and his children after they completed an 8-day period of consecration and offering to him.
Mm.
On the 8th day, God our Father instituted the 8-day Feast of Tabernacles to remind his children that he was with them, that he loved them, and that he brought them out of the bondage of Egypt. That was an 8-day feast, the
wow.
Feast of Tabernacles,
mm.
still celebrated in the time of our Lord. God our Father accepted purification offerings from his children on the final 8th day after a ritual cleansing.
Mm.
So there were certain things that you could do in the Mosaic Law that would render you ritually unclean.
Mm-hmm.
And other people, if they touched you or touched things that you came in contact with, they would also be ritually unclean, which meant they couldn't be part of a sacrifice. They couldn't mm-hmm. those kinds of things.
That's why the healing of the woman who's hemorrhaged for how many years?
She was ritually unclean.
The whole time her father disowned her, kicked her out of his house.
Well, and it meant that anyone who touched her
would be unclean.
Would be ritually unclean. So when she reached out to touch the hem of the Lord,
mm.
if he had just been one of the apostles, that person would have been ritually unclean.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he's the Lord, so
yeah.
It's a different situation. But at the end of that purifying ritual, when you handle the fact that you were unclean, you go through this purifying ritual, and it's on the 8th day that you would offer your offering to the Lord in thanksgiving for that. God our Father was glorified when David, who was the 8th son of Jesse, he's the son of Jesse, he's the 8th son, brought the Ark of the Covenant into the city of David amidst praises sung for the octave upon harps. Okay,
mm.
so sung on that 8th day. God our Father heard David's repentant cry. Right, David was beloved of
yes,
the Lord.
Heart of the Lord.
The apple mm-hmm. of his eye, right? But he sinned, and there was grave sin.
Yes.
Right? And it's right there in Scripture. So he needed to repent, and the Father heard his repentant cry that was played on an 8-stringed harp.
Mm.
Right?
God loves details. He's
yes.
in the details,
and
ladies.
The patterns. You were talking before
mm-hmm.
about the patterns,
mm-hmm.
okay? And when we talk about even the name octave, a lot of times that's how people think of it. If you have a music background,
mm-hmm.
is in music, an octave,
mm-hmm.
right? Not a consequence, and not coincidence.
That's a consequence.
Yeah, not a coincidence. God our Father was glorified when mm. Solomon completed the house of the Lord in the 8th month of the year. Right?
Mm.
It was to Solomon that the temple was going to be built. That action, David had wanted to undertake it, but that wasn't the Lord's will. God the Father willed for Solomon to be that person. God our Father filled the temple with his majesty and came to dwell with his children, this is in the Holy of Holies, on the 8th day of Solomon's Feast of Dedication. When that temple that was built under Solomon was dedicated, it was an 8-day dedication, and the Lord allowed his presence to rest in the Holy of Holies at the end of that 8th day Feast of Dedication. The presence of God our Father was to be approached by 8 steps in the new temple that was envisioned by his prophet Ezekiel.
Mm.
So if you go to the book of Ezekiel, and he's talking about the temple in the holy New Jerusalem, he has this vision of the temple, and on each side, it mentions each one separately, the north gate, the east gate, that kind of thing. There are 8 steps on each of those sides that come up to what is the Holy of Holies in the new temple. God our Father was glorified when his defiled temple, so this is long after Solomon, when the temple is defiled by having pagan sacrifices and things offered into it, and then the chosen people come back and they need to rededicate the temple. Mm-hmm. So when his defiled temple was purified and rededicated by the Maccabees during the 8-day feast of the dedication, God our Father was glorified.
Mm-hmm.
He made a new covenant with his children through Jesus, his son, who was also circumcised on the 8th day, right? We talked mm-hmm. about that. Here's one that I had not put together before. God our Father revealed his son Jesus during the transfiguration, which was 8 days after Jesus fed the multitudes.
Oh, I love that.
Right?
Yeah, that's so good.
Yes, these are those things that you go back and you read them in scripture and you make those little notes to say, oh, look back to this thing.
God is speaking in those patterns of 8 days.
That's right.
It's wonderful.
God our Father was glorified when from Solomon's porch in the temple, okay? Mm-hmm. And it specifically says this was Solomon's porch. So go back to what we said before about Solomon dedicating the temple, okay? When from Solomon's porch in the temple on the 8-day feast of the dedication, that was the dedication we talked about, his son Jesus revealed that he was consecrated to God the Father and that he and the Father were one. Mm. It's not a coincidence. It's not an accident. It's not just some random detail that's there in Scripture when it mentions he's on Solomon's porch, when that is the day that he says the Father and I are one.
And the Jewish people knew this.
They would know that. Now, mm-hmm. did they have ears to hear? That's another thing altogether. Okay, just a couple more and then we'll go into prayer. God our Father was glorified after his son Jesus rose from the dead on the 8th day of his week of passion and redemption for our sins. So when you start on Palm Sunday and then you come around to Easter Sunday, that is the 8th day. God our Father was glorified when Jesus showed his wounds to unbelieving Thomas 8 days after his resurrection.
Wow.
It really does blow the mind.
Mm-hmm.
Blow the mind. All right, this is our prayer time. And Jean, I feel like I have spoken a lot.
No, it's wonderful.
Episode.
I'm just listening because what I'm hearing is just how God speaks in these patterns.
Yes.
And again, ladies, what are the patterns in your life that God is speaking to you? What is it? This is what you can rest in. Our scriptures are showing us how God speaks.
Yes. So, Jean, if you would be so kind as to lead us in our prayer time. I may not end up saying anything in prayer.
That's okay.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Heavenly Father, we come before you just in awe and wonder of how good you are. And we are continually learning. I love that, Lord. We are continually discovering new ideas, new ways, who you are. What I'm loving today, Father, in our discussion, is there are women, Father, that are listening that don't know how to pray to you. And maybe they get confused. Well, I pray to Jesus, and then I pray to the Holy Spirit. How am I supposed to pray to the Father? Like, we get caught in the technical side of prayer. But today, no, Lord. We just come before you asking for the gift of prayer. Kathleen had mentioned earlier about the Our Father. When the apostles saw Jesus, they saw something, of course, different, and they wanted to pray like he prays. And he asked them, how do we pray? So Jesus, we come before you. How do we pray to our Father? Yes, with the Our Father. Teach us deeper revelations about the Father. We want to know him. We want to be set apart for him, whether it's through a formal consecration or just a simple raising of our heart during the Holy Mass. We want to come in contact with you, Father, in a beautiful way. I keep thinking of your love letter of Psalm 139, Father, that you have spoken to your daughters. I ask for those words to penetrate us more deeply and to bring us into that beautiful, beautiful meditative state of encountering you, Father, in prayer. I ask for that grace for all of us as we sit here and we learn more about you, that we will know you as our Father, and that we will know how much you love us, and that we can do nothing to take away that love, that you love us, and we can't do anything for you to love us more, because your love is complete and full. There's no more. We are received into your perfect love. And we just would like to rest in that, Lord, so we can bring your glory and your honor to the world. So your kingdom, as we say in the Our Father, will be here as it is in heaven.
Yes. Let's pray the Our Father, Jane.
Sure.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that. I love how the Lord is working. And I think this is a highlighted moment to say, girls, I want more of you all to know more about me.
Yes, yes. Jesus wants to guide us back, to lead us, his bride, members of the body of Christ, back to his Father's house, where he says there will be many rooms. And he is preparing. He's preparing that place
for us
in the Father's house. So if you haven't already started to develop a personal relationship with God the Father, this is a good time to start that. If you have wounds, maybe from an experience of earthly fatherhood that he wants to heal so that he can love you as you were created to be loved, this Lent, that might be the thing for you.
I think what I'll do is post that healing father prayer, healing the wounds, which sometimes our wounds, ladies, get in the way.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Post on Facebook.
All right, we'll have that. We'll have that on Facebook. Ladies, tune in next week. We have our 100th episode coming up.
Yes,
believe it or not.
We cannot believe it.
Next week, there will be a new Joyful Echo, 5 o'clock on Wednesdays, CarolinaCatholicMedia.org, or download the mobile app. Have a blessed week.
Blessed week, ladies.